Well, we have some pretty fascinating things as usual for today's study, little children. This day is February 11th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 18:38 hours Eastern Standard Time. We're green with you again for our study today. And today's study is in the Crucible article again, and we have Daniel chapter 2 and 1 Chronicles chapter 1, about which Adam Clark has a lengthy commentary about the Book of Chronicles, the books of Chronicles, and the man Ezra, who is believed to be the author, to have been the author of the Chronicles. And in the Crucible, or C-Cubed article, which is our article of study, we've been studying this for a while. We're in chapter 6, and the inset in chapter 6, which is the Arabian tradition inset, and we're at now, what was it? Let's see. We're at the section called the Exodus within that inset, which is the second section of the inset, and it's paragraph 1, 2, 3, the third paragraph of that inset, and I believe I'd have to check. Let's see. Now we're at paragraph 10, I believe, overall. Within the inset. But it's the third paragraph of, if I'm not mistaken, anyway, the third paragraph. Yeah, I think it's the third paragraph, as you can see, from the Exodus subheading. Now, the Egyptian king of the time of Joseph, we talked about, right? That was the second paragraph in the Exodus subheading. But we may find no explanation for the few names of the kings from Joseph to Moses. In the Arabian tradition, you know, we can look at those names, but we're not looking at them today because we have other things we're doing today. But the king of the days of Moses, Walid, or Walid, is the brother, he's according to the tradition of the Arabians, the Arabs, Walid is the brother of his predecessor, Qaboos. Now, it's interesting because that could mean that Walid is the brother of the Egyptian pharaoh Qamos, because Qaboos and Qamos are pretty similar. However, that's just speculation. And it is related also by some that Thutmose I is the brother of Amenhotep I. That's interesting because I don't think that's accurate because the father of Amenhotep I was too young to have been the father of Thutmose I in all probability, but he could be his brother by being closely related. Perhaps Thutmose is the brother of Amos, who is also the brother of Qamos. And therefore, it could be said that Thutmose I is also the brother of Qamos, or Qaboos, as he's called here. But Walid or Walid is an Arabic name meaning newborn, which compares to Thutmose, which means born of Thoth. So the word born, we know from the name of Moses, which anyone who's learned about the Bible and Moses knows that Moses means, the name Moses means born out of water. So born is associated with the name Moses. So Amos has the name Mos in it, associated with born, and so does Thutmose. So we see we're in the right time period for Moses, it seems to be true, because Thutmose means born of Thoth, and Walid means born, and that was the name of the pharaoh according to the Arabian tradition. But let's also check what the word Walid is in Arabian, or what it means to be born of Thoth, It's the Arabian expression, which is pronounced like this in the Google Translate. Can we play it? Oh, I'm not playing it. Okay. Let me turn on the speaker. There we go. See if this works. I hope it's not too loud. Turn it down.
Waladun tahuta.
Waladun tahuta. Waladun tahuta. So walad, we see, is that word for born.
Waladun tahuta.
And that would coincide with the time of Thutmose the First, apparently, which is remarkable, is it not? So, and this is the time we get this from Thutmose. His name is Thutmose, not his prenomen, which should be his throne name, but his name, Thutmose, means born. There's a typo here, but it's born of the god Thoth. That's what it means. Somehow it's been misspelled there. Born of the god Thoth is what Thutmose means. Okay, so we have a good correspondence between the Arabian tradition and the chronology that we've been talking about, which is the genealogy. So that's the end of our study in the Crucible article for today. Now, little children, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10 is our proverb for today. And anything that my eyes asked for, I did not keep away from them. I did not hold back my heart from any sort of rejoicing, for my heart was joyful because of all my hard work. You see, this is where joy comes from, hard work. And this came to be my portion from all my hard work. That's important. Now, to do hard work, we have to have our health. So health comes first, like safety first in work, but also health first before work, because that's the only way to be safe in our preservation of our lives, is to be healthy first before we do hard work. But it is noteworthy here that Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 2 and 10 that there's nothing wrong with rejoicing. In fact, he didn't hold himself back from any sort of rejoicing. His heart was joyful. It's just that the idea, it's just, so there's nothing wrong with rejoicing. It's great to rejoice. What's wrong is the celebration of certain things that have nothing to do with work, you know, that are just arbitrary celebrations of things or events, right? Celebrations of even celebrations of victory is sort of no good. If it involves poisoning yourself with alcohol and so on to drown out your feelings, that's not really rejoicing. That's just celebration, which is a different sort of thing. But rejoicing, you know, this intense feeling of joy, that's a good thing. Okay, so let's move to our study for what are we reading today? It's Chronicles first, I think. Yeah, First Chronicles chapter 1. It's the first part of our reading. This is a long, long reading, I think. Is it? Or is it Daniel? Daniel's the long one, or this one's long? Or maybe they're both long. How long is Daniel? We better assess that more thoroughly before we start. I think Daniel is... They're both long. Oh, yeah, they're both long. So, that's going to be difficult. So, if we're going to do it, we have to do it continuously, but we don't have to do all of it right now. The first of Chronicles. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the corresponding chronology for that can be obtained, is obtained, shown in the article Green at the beginning. We have the chronology of all these from Adam. All these events are shown here. The births of these patriarchs from Adam on down is shown. Shem's is kind of omitted, but it's there. You can determine it from the numbers. You can work it out. But also in the article Joseph, the same table appears further down. So it's available also in the article Joseph. Now verse 5 of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. The sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarma. And the sons of Javan were Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Rodanim. The sons of Ham were Cush and Mizraim, Put and Canaan. And the sons of Cush were Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Raamah and Sabtica. And the sons of Raamah were Sheba and Dedan. And Cush himself became father to Nimrod. He it was that made the start in becoming a mighty one in the earth. I hope you're listening, little children. And we know that Nimrod was also a mighty hunter in opposition to Jehovah. As for Mizraim, he became father to Ludim and Anamim and Lehabim and Naphtuhim and Pathrusim and Kesluhim, from among whom the Philistines went forth, and Kaphtorim. As for Canaan, he became father to Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. The sons of Shem were Elam, and Asher, and Arpachshad, and Lud, and Aram, and Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. As for Arpachshad, he became father to Shelah, and Shelah himself became father to Eber. And to Eber two sons were born. The name of the one was Peleg, because in his days the earth was divided, and the name of his brother was Joktan. We talked about Joktan in our article, The Ark of Urartu, and explaining from the book of Genesis where the Far Eastern nations come from. As for Joktan, he became father to Almodad and Shelef and Hazar Maveth and Jira and Hadoram and Uzal and Dikla and Obal and Abimael and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Now whether that Jobab has anything to do with Job is of some interest. Shem, Arpachshad. See, now we're coming down from, we talked about the sons of Shem, verse 17. But, from Shem, Arpachshad, Shelah, verse 24. Now verse 25, Eber, Peleg, Reu, or Roy, Serug, Nahor, Terah, Abram, that is to say Abraham. The sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. These are their family origins. Ishmael's firstborn, Nebaioth and Kedar, and Abdiel and Mibsam, Mishma and Duma, Massa, Hadad, and Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kedema. These were the sons of Ishmael. As for the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, she gave birth to Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And the sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldeah. All these were the sons of Keturah. And Abraham came to be father to Isaac. The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel. The sons of Esau were Eliphaz, Royal, Jeush, and Jalem and Korah. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman and Omar, Zepho and Gatim, Kenaz and Timnah and Amalek. The sons of Royal were Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. And the sons of Seir, now Seir was an inhabitant of the land of Seir. His sons were Lotan and Shobal, and Zibeon and Ana and Dishon, and Ezer and Dishan. And the sons of Lotan were Hori and Homam, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. The sons of Shobal were Alvan and Manahath and Ebal, Shepho and Onam. And the sons of Zibeon were Aya, that is, and Ana. The sons of Ana were Dishon, and the sons of Dishon were Hemdan and Eshban and Ithran and Kiran. The sons of Ezer were Bilhan and Zaavan and Achan. Achan. The sons of Dishan were Uz and Aran. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the sons of Israel. Bela the son of Beor, the name of whose city was Dinhaba. Eventually Bela died, and Jobab the son of Zerah from Bozrah began to reign in place of him. There Jobab also makes us think of Job. This could be the Job of the Bible. Eventually Jobab died, and Husham from the land of the Temanites began to reign in place of him. Eventually Husham, verse 46, Husham died, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the field of Moab, began to reign in place of him, and the name of his city was Abith. Eventually Hadad died, and Samla from Masrekah began to reign in place of him. Eventually Samla died, and Sheul from Rehoboth by the river, began to reign in place of him. Eventually Sheul died, and Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, began to reign in place of him. Eventually Baal-Hanan died, and Hadad began to reign in place of him, and the name of his city was Peu, and the name of his wife was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mizahab. Eventually Hadad died, and the sheikhs of Edom came to be Sheikh Timnah, Sheikh Alva, Sheikh Jetheth, that is, Sheikh Alva, or that is, let's start again, Sheikh Timnah, Sheikh Alva, Sheikh Jetheth, Sheikh Oholibama, Sheikh Elah, Sheikh Pinon, Sheikh Kenaz, Sheikh Teman, Sheikh Mibzar, Sheikh Magdiel, Sheikh Iram. These were the sheikhs of Edom. And that's the end of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Well, that went quickly, did it not? Because we're just reading a list of names. We don't have to worry about explaining it so much. The only deviation there was that the sons of Seir are not listed in the, they're not part of the descent. They're not part of the descent line from Abraham. Okay? They're from a different descent line. Or if they are from, well, they could actually be from Abraham. They're not from, let's say, they're not the sons of Israel. You know, and they're not from Esau, apparently, either. That's what it looks like from looking at that. So, it's because the sons of Esau were verse 35, and then it's a break in verse 38 that, talking about the sons of Seir, who were the inhabitants of the land to which Esau moved, which was the land of Seir. Esau moved to that land, but already living in that land were these sons of Seir, whose origin or whose fathers are not given. Namely, the person named Seir. Seir's ancestors are not named. They're all sons of the ancestor, the patriarch Noah, of course, as we all are. There's much to say about the descent from Adam. We could talk about that when we have time. But for now, let's read Daniel chapter 2, which is rather interesting and has some things that we might want to comment about contained in it. Daniel chapter 2, and in the second year of the kingship of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. Let's go back to chapter 1 first and consider the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel's now living in, as he's writing this, he's living in Babylon. So when he says the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, perhaps he means the second year according to the Babylonian reckoning, which would be 603 BCE, or somewhere, you know, their calendar didn't start in January like ours does. It started in March or April, so it's more like there's some overlap, but somewhere around 603 BCE would be year two. And it says here, at the end of 3 years, they might stand before the king, in verse 1 of Daniel. The Hebrews who were being fed in Babylon were to stand before Nebuchadnezzar after 3 years, it says there. So from 603, we add 3 years, we get 606, or if that's, you know, if the second year of Nebuchadnezzar is 603, but if the second year of Nebuchadnezzar is, could be 602, because it could be, you know, early in that year, or early in the Julian calendar, in January, February, March, and not yet having reached the third year of Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian calendar. So it could be 602. We add 3 years, we get 605, and 605. But if we add 3 years to 603, we get 606. 606 is the third year of Jehoiakim, with his first year as 608. So the third year, that's about right. Or it's also called, but 605 would be his fourth year. It's right in the right area, because that's the time when Nebuchadnezzar defeated Necho. In Jeremiah, it says in chapter 46, verse 2, that Nebuchadnezzar defeated Necho at Carchemish by the river Euphrates in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So therefore, his second year, of his rule, if that happened before he became king, actually, Nebuchadnezzar, he might have been the military commander at that time, but if that was 606, let's say, when he defeated, well, it was the fourth year, though, of Jehoiakim, so that would be 605. That makes sense. So now we have, if he captured Daniel at the same time, because he was in the vicinity, on the way back to Babylon, or he could have gone to Jerusalem, or maybe on the way to Carchemish, but he conquered Egypt, and then he became the ruler of the vassal nation of Israel. And so he became, you know, dominant over Israel at that time, and so from that time, the fourth year of Jehoiakim, approximately, we believe that would have started about 605, and then his second year could be the second year, it could be the second official year, which would start from 604. So it's still, it's very, to 603 or 602, which is about 3 years after 605. So you see, this is about right. The timing is about right. And Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, and his spirit began to feel agitated, and his very sleep was made to be something beyond him. So the king said to call the magic practicing priests and the conjurers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So this is the story that's a very, very, let's just read it. You know, let's just read it, little children. This is a story for everyone, especially for the little children. And they proceeded to come in and to stand before the king. Right? He had some dreams. He called the priests and the conjurers, the sorcerers, to tell them his dreams. And then the king said to them, "There is a dream that I have dreamed, and my spirit is agitated to know the dream." At that, the Chaldeans spoke to the king in the Aramaic language. "O king, live on even for times indefinite. Say what the dream is to your servants, and we shall show the very interpretation." The king was answering and saying to the Chaldeans, "The word is being promulgated by me. If you men do not make the dream known to me and its interpretation, dismembered is what you will be. If you men do not make the dream known to me and its interpretation, dismembered is what you will be, and into public privies your own houses will be turned. But if the dream and its interpretation you will show, gifts and a present, gifts and a present, and much dignity you will receive on my part. Therefore, show me the very dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and were saying, let the king say what the dream is to his servants, and we shall show its very interpretation. The king was answering and saying, for a fact, I am aware that time is what you men are trying to gain, forasmuch as you have perceived that the word is being promulgated by me. For if you do not make known to me the very dream, this one and only sentence is upon you. But it is a lying and wrong word that you have agreed to say before me, until the time itself is changed. Therefore tell me the very dream, and I shall know that you can show the very interpretation of it. The Chaldeans answered before the king, and they were saying, there does not exist a man on the dry land that is able to show the matter of the king. Forasmuch as no grand king or governor has asked such a thing as this of any magic practicing priest or conjurer or Chaldean. But the thing that the king himself is asking is difficult, and nobody else exists who can show it before the king except the gods, whose own dwelling does not exist with flesh at all. Because of this answer they gave, the king himself became angry and got very furious, and he said, to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Destroy them all. And the order itself went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they looked for Daniel and his companions for them to be killed. At that time, so all the wise men were about to be killed, including Daniel and his companions, but Daniel hadn't even heard of this yet. At that time, Daniel, for his part, addressed himself with counsel and sensibleness to Arioch, the chief of the king's bodyguard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. So by now, Daniel had heard of it. He was answering and saying to Arioch, the officer of the king, for what reason is there such a harsh order on the part of the king? Then it was that Arioch made known the matter itself to Daniel. So Daniel himself went in and asked from the king that he should give him time expressly to show the very interpretation to the king. After that, Daniel went to his own house, and to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, he made known the matter, even for them to ask for mercies on the part of the God of heaven concerning this secret, in order that they might not destroy Daniel and his companions with the remainder of the wise men of Babylon. They were all going to be killed. Then it was that to Daniel, in a night vision, the secret was revealed. Consequently, Daniel himself blessed the God of heaven. Daniel was answering and saying, let the name of God become blessed from time indefinite, even to time indefinite, for wisdom and mightiness, for they belong to him. And he is changing times and seasons, removing kings and setting up kings, giving wisdom to the wise ones and knowledge to those knowing discernment. He is revealing the deep things and the concealed things, knowing what is in the darkness, and with him the light does dwell. To you, O God of my forefathers, I am giving praise and commendation, because wisdom and mightiness you have given to me, and now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the very matter of the king. Because of this, Daniel himself went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went, and this is what he said to him, do not destroy any wise men of Babylon. Take me in before the king, that I may show the interpretation itself to the king. Then it was that Arioch, in a hurry, took Daniel in before the king, and this is what he said to him, I have found an able-bodied man of the exiles of Judah who can make known the interpretation itself to the king. The king was answering and saying to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Are you competent enough to make known to me the dream that I beheld and its interpretation? Daniel was answering before the king and saying, The secret that the king himself is asking, the wise men, the conjurers, the magic practicing priests, and the astrologers themselves are unable to show to the king. However, there exists a God in the heavens who is a revealer of secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what is to occur in the final part of the days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed, this it is. As for you, O king, on your bed your own thoughts came up as regards what is to occur after this, and the one who is the revealer of secrets has made known to you what is to occur. And as for me, it is not through any wisdom that exists in me more than in any others alive that this secret is revealed to me, except to the intent that the interpretation may be made known to the king himself, and that the thoughts of your heart you may know. You, O king, happen to be beholding, and look, a certain immense image. That image, which was large, and the brightness of which was extraordinary, was standing in front of you. And its appearance was dreadful. As regards that image, its head was of good gold, its breasts and its arms were of silver, its belly and its thighs were of copper, its legs were of iron, its feet were partly of iron and partly of molded clay. You kept on looking until a stone was cut out, not by hands, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and of molded clay and crushed them. At that time, the iron, the molded clay, the copper, the silver, and the gold were all together crushed and became like the chaff from the summer thrashing floor, and the wind carried them away so that no trace at all was found of them. And as for the stone that struck the image, it became a large mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream and its interpretation we shall say before the king. You, O king, the king of kings, you to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the might and the strength and the dignity, and into whose hand he has given, wherever the sons of mankind are dwelling, the beasts of the field and the winged creatures of the heavens, and whom he has made ruler over all of them. You yourself are the head of gold, and after you there will rise another kingdom inferior to you, and another kingdom, a third one of copper. So the second one was the Medes and the Persians. The third one of copper is Alexander the Great, the Greek kingdom, that will rule over the whole earth. And as for the fourth kingdom, which was the Romans, it will prove to be strong like iron. For as much as iron is crushing and grinding everything else, so like iron that shatters, it will crush and shatter even all these. And whereas you beheld the feet and the toes to be partly of molded clay of a potter and partly of iron, like the democracy, where the people are the clay and they've become mixed in with the government, and so you have Anglo-America, the kingdom itself will prove to be divided. But somewhat of the hardness of iron will prove to be in it, for as much as you beheld the iron mixed with moist clay. And as for the toes of the feet being partly of iron and partly of molded clay, the kingdom will partly prove to be strong and will partly prove to be fragile, like a democracy. Whereas you beheld iron mixed with moist clay, there will come to be mixed with the offspring of mankind. They will come. But whereas you beheld iron mixed with moist clay, they will come, that is, the government, will come to be mixed with the offspring of mankind, a democracy. But they will not prove to be sticking together, this one to that one, just as iron is not mixing with molded clay. Just as iron is not mixing with molded clay. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be brought to ruin. Our time is up. We're going to have to go overtime. And the kingdom itself will not be passed on to any other people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, and it itself will stand to times indefinite. For as much as you beheld that out of the mountain the stone was cut not by hands, and that it crushed the iron, the copper, the molded clay, the silver, and the gold. The grand God himself has made known to the king what is to occur after this, and the dream is reliable, and the interpretation of it is trustworthy. At that time King Nebuchadnezzar himself fell down upon his face, and to Daniel he paid homage, and he said to offer even a present and incense to him. The king was answering Daniel and saying, Truly the God of you men is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. A revealer of secrets because you were able to reveal this secret. Consequently the king made Daniel someone great, and many big gifts he gave to him. Many gifts and many big gifts they were big as well as being many. And he made him the ruler over all the jurisdictional district of Babylon and the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. He made him chief prefect over all the wise men and ruler over all the jurisdictional district of Babylon. And Daniel, for his part, made a request of the king, and he appointed over the administration of the jurisdictional district of Babylon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Daniel was in the court of the king. And that's the end of Daniel chapter 2. It's the end of our study. The reference to the kingdom being mixed and so on, partly fragile, that's described, talked about in the Insight book, under Image, and also in the Watchtower, June 15th, 2012. It explains that, starting in paragraph 9, in the article called Jehovah Reveals What Must Shortly Take Place, June 15th, 2012, The Watchtower. So that's all for today's study, little children. I hope you enjoyed that. Daniel was a channel, or just merely the one who received the message from Jehovah. He didn't claim any credit for himself. It was Jehovah who revealed the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and its interpretation. That's all for today's study and for the video. And it's February 11th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1914 hours. I can't believe the same exact time. Eastern Standard Time, Ward Green. Is my name. And we're going to be 1915 by the time we're done. But that's okay. I love you very much. This is, in my behalf, Live Dusty. And this is Cassie. And we're like 36 minutes now. Bye for now.